Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my heart to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with Grin the Bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy Moss here. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. That's our website if you don't know it. Mountain West Connection Facebook. Rapidly approaching 2,300 likes. Thank you very much. And we got Chris Hondris hanging out in Las Vegas this holiday week.
Nope. Went back.
Oh, you're already back. Yeah, wow.
I'm already back. And this is the week where I create a completely a baseless rumor about Brian Kelly being fired from Notre Dame, therefore Bob Davie going to Notre Dame, and Lane Kiffin being hired as the new coach of New Mexico.
For real? What is this? Did I miss something today?
Did you not hear the whole completely baseless rumor part?
Yeah, I did, but I was just kind of wondering, what's going on? I heard that, but I'm like, is there any? You never know. The coaching circus is quite crazy. So I heard you say baseless rumor. Does it mean somebody else didn't say it and you're just exaggerating upon what was originally said?
This is true. Over what? However many millions of people live in the U.S., somebody also has to have a crazy and warped mind like myself.
And part of the reason I think of that, because last year for about a month, I did coaching content for Coaching Search. It's a mess. What information we got, we wrote about, we put on the ticker. I wouldn't be surprised. That's why I was double checking on that.
Look, I'm just saying, hey, that's completely wrong. There's nothing going to be absolutely accurate about that at all. All the Mountain West jobs are pretty stable right now.
Got some coordinators at Fresno State. That's about it right now.
Lane Kiffin to Fresno State?
Didn't he coach with...
No, he played at Fresno State.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew there was some sort of connection. I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, OC, come on. Go to Alabama to Fresno.
That'd be a huge upgrade. Actually, with Lane Kiffin at the helm, I'm not sure if it'd be that much of an upgrade, but...
Oh.
Oh.
Well, there's no coaching news now. We got, like I said, Fresno, OC, DC. We probably talked about this, but what's his name? The DC is getting reassigned. Dave Schramm's no longer there. I think Hawaii's still out their staff. I don't think Nevada's officially named their offensive coordinator yet, so we'll keep an eye on that. I don't think that's the case because their bowl game's coming up, and we'll talk about that. So I'm going to just go ahead and say no because I thought about that as I'm talking. They still have a game to play this week that we'll get to later.
All right.
But
let's go ahead and get to the games.
Games or ham talk?
Games or what?
Don't you remember the ham discussion?
Oh, yeah. Team Ham.
That'll be later in the show, maybe.
Yeah, that should probably be later.
Maybe next show.
If you guys are still hanging around at the end of the show, we have some very strong opinions about ham, in which we're going to take point and counterpoint.
Exactly.
In which the point is Jeremy is wrong.
Okay. No problem. We'll get to it later. Okay, starting with the games. We had a couple games. This past week, we had the famous
Screwed up the sponsor already?
The Chive Bowl. We got the Chive Bowl.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
That was one of the many mid-afternoon kickoffs we had in the Mountain West, which is just ridiculous. But we'll get to the other fun note we'll get about the Poinsettia Bowl in attendance, but let's get to the the Akron Utah State game where Akron won 23-21. Okay, I get it. Chucky Keaton's last game. He's healthy. Kent Myers is healthy. My assumption, Utah State could win with either quarterback starting.
They should have won with either quarterback starting.
Correct. However, it's very difficult to win when you have, hey, you get series one, you get series seven, you get series two. Let's try a baseless fake trick play here that's not going to work. You can't switching quarterbacks as often as they did was a huge mistake, and I don't know why they did it. And neither
quarterback performed particularly well.
Neither did. Akron's defense is much better than I thought. Myers did have a couple led two touchdowns.
Keaton had one.
Yeah, Keaton had one and a pick. But they, production-wise, I thought, here's the big thing. The first half, Utah State was all right. It was 13-7 at the half. There was the late. Did Akron made that late field goal at the first half, correct?
Yes.
They made that late field goal. So Utah State gets the ball. We're skipping the first half, whatever. Akron did that with a halfback end around pass for a touchdown or something. Tyler Gridman, good for you. But about the quarterback situation, because that's the most important thing I would like to talk about with this game. And the first drive of the second half, Kent Myers drove down the field, had a big run, scored a touchdown, and figured, all right, Utah State's going to take care of business. But then they bring back in Chucky Keaton to be quarterback. And that second drive, Kent Myers still played, but they fumbled. I apologize. I thought they brought him in. But I figured that first drive, seven plays, touchdown, they're up by one. They force Akron to punt, but then nothing happens.
Here's the thing. Utah State statistically should have won the game. 363 yeah. yards to 282 yards. But that's not a lot of offense for either team. Okay. Passing, they won. Rushing, they won. Penalties, eight penalties for 60 yards. That was a little hefty. But two fumbles along with the one interception thrown. I mean, the two interceptions were essentially washed because Akron threw one, Utah State threw one. But two fumbles lost. I mean, that was just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and that one in the second half led to a touchdown.
Yeah, it did.
Like, the interception, like, if you look at the turnovers, points off turnovers, I believe, I'm checking right now. I guess if you want to count Utah State turning over on downs as a turnover, perhaps, instead of kicking eight. Because here's a big difference, too, in that first half. We'll jump around a bit. But they had that fourth and eight. They run a freaking fake punt field goal with DJ Nelson. Why not kick it? I know, I think the wind, or some wind, whatever it's called, but that could, not necessarily for sure, but could have been the difference if they kick a field goal right there on the 18-yard line. That's only a, what? Not only, well, 35-yard field goal, very makeable. That could have been the game there, but turnover on downs, that's a field goal there Akron scored after. The fumble, Utah State ended the half, so no points there. But then the big one, I guess the only points off turnovers, was that fumble toward a touchdown in the second half. So despite all the turnovers in the game, only 7 points came off turnovers for either team.
Right, right. It's just looking at the stats, looking at who performed and did what, I mean, there's Akron's defense played bend, don't break very well, but I'm still scratching my head as to how Utah State lost this game.
Well, look at the first half. They had four straight three and outs to start the game. They went 12 plays on their first four drives for what? A combined, if I can do my math really quick here, 7. That's minus 3 yards, 4. They had 3 positive yards on their first four possessions. They had 44 yards in the first quarter only, it looks like, I believe, if I'm correct on that. First quarter was terrible. It was just, they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do against this Akron team who playing the MAC, there's a lot of offense, but I didn't think their defense would be this great early on. Utah State had no answer, and that was kind of took them a while to get going in this game.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, Chucky Keaton didn't do well, but neither did Kent Myers. I mean, it's just
the one drive. That's it, really. That second half, that third quarter drive, figured, okay, it's turning around, but then he fumbled. There's a fumble on the next possession they get.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then it was, and then that end of play where they had the multiple laterals. Look, if you're going to do the lateral route, you can't go backwards.
Well, you throw it farther than 5 yards to do that.
Right. You need to cross field that.
Yeah, because they weren't going to score there, but still you're at the 11-yard line. You got to throw at least 15 yards downfield and then start lateraling it, because they're going to leave. The thing is, the play was weird. It took them forever for them to get a pass off, but you're not going to score from there. It's very difficult, but give guys a chance. You throw, first off, they throw by the sideline. They throw for a couple of yards. You're already pinned in that corner. You try to go backwards. There's only two ways you can go. You go backwards or cross field. That's it. But if you're in the middle of the field, you can go left, right, or back. They didn't have the option, but you got to give guys a little bit of a chance, but it was just nothing was going to happen out of it. But it's just a game where Utah State played bad. They ended the season. They started, what were they, 4-2? They ended up, what, 2-5 the rest of the way?
Yeah, this was just it ended up just a very, very disappointing season for Utah State. And the question is, where do they go from here?
I think they'll be okay. It was just New Mexico, Air Force, and BYU and San Diego State, their schedule is backloaded at the end of the year. Aztecs have 11 wins. New Mexico want, what, 8 wins, I believe. They're obviously contended for the Mountain Division at Air Force. They're all road games at San Diego State, at New Mexico, at Air Force, hosting a very good BYU team, which they also played bad in as well. Special teams, miscues, and turnovers. Part of it, schedule is tough. But then again, this team, their defense shouldn't be giving up as many points to Air Force, really.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, the only signature win they had, and people are still scratching their heads about it, was the Boise State beatdown. And we're still trying to figure out as to what the hell happened.
Speaking
of Boise State.
One quick note. Did you know the potatoes are plastic there in the Potato Bowl trophy?
Yes. Was that the Air Force
Yeah, last year. He took a big bite. It's like, oh, crap. Did you also see the guy at the stadium biting off
a real potato?
Yes. Hopefully they're cooked, but I don't know. That guy had no shirt on, so I bet they're raw potatoes.
Yeah.
It had to be raw.
This is Idaho here. They're not afraid of anything.
All right, next game. The other two games, not much to talk about because they're both blowouts.
Well, okay. Yeah, let's... Not much to talk about. There's plenty to talk about, but not about the games themselves.
Yeah. First note, Boise State won 55-7. Good for you. Excellent victory. Second note, the attendance was larger in this game than it was for the Mountain West title game.
Ever so slightly, but yes.
Hey, you still got to mention it, man. Come on.
I know.
This win is as confusing as Utah State's season this year, just about.
I wouldn't say that.
Close to it, I'd say close to it.
I honestly wouldn't say that.
How would you describe the game? They just crushed the MAC West champion, Northern Illinois Huskies.
Right, a MAC West champion who was on a backup quarterback Even if they were down to a third string quarterback, their rushing game has been pretty solid all year, Joe Buagnon. But at the same time, how good has Boise State's rush defense been all year?
Not this good, but very good.
Yeah.
And they got sacked. Ryan Graham 5 times, I think?
Yep.
They just crushed them. Like if you look at the numbers itself, the rushing game was more than exceptional. McNichols.
Was it 5 sacks, really?
I believe it was.
I see 10 carries from Ryan Graham for minus 49 yards. The long is a 6.
Okay, then there's 9 right there if you take away the long of 6. Yeah. Scramble quarterback hurries are probably, I bet, 9 of those are quarterback hurries, 8 of those.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there was only 5 sacks. It just, good Lord, this.
This was a fun. It was a crazy game to watch. Like, they're up 21-0 right away. McNichol, 3 first quarter touchdowns. Who? Okay, honest question. Who's Ryan Wolpin?
I don't know, but he had almost 100 yards just in the fourth quarter.
He had 90 yards in this game. He had a long of 49, so
he
take that.
He is a number 30. He is a sophomore this year, so he's probably going to be back. If McNichols, oh, Trabuco Canyon. Hey, I marched at that high school when I was younger.
McNichols is back. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but he'll probably be a solid backup to McNichols, and we saw that. I mean, no Devon Demas, then no Jack Fields.
Kelsey Young's gone.
Gone next year. Kelsey Young did a pretty solid job, too.
Wait, which one came from Stanford? Is it Kelsey or Corey?
Kelsey. Corey's the Youngian.
Well, Kelsey's gone because he's a graduate transfer.
Yes.
So he's gone. So, but he – okay, let's play this game. Are you looking at his ESPN season-long stat page yet?
Ryan Wolpin?
Yeah.
No.
Good. Okay. How many carries did he have prior to this game? Any guess?
I'm going to say 6.
Very close. He had 9. Or no, excuse me. Yeah, 9. I'm sorry. It's, I was like, wait.
He had 9 carries.
9 carries. He had 26. He had 26 carries for the year. Heading into this game, he had 90 in this game, 158 on the season.
Wow.
So it's just look even further. That 49-yard run, if I'm correct on this, let me see if I'm right. That was more yards than he had all year before this game.
That's crazy.
Let's see. I want to double check. But this was a game like Northern Illinois had no answer. They averaged less than, 1 yard per play? And
yeah, they averaged 0.6 per play.
Oh, so let me rephrase that. His 49-yard long did not eclipse the season long. He had 40 yards in Hawaii, 57, 58. He had 68 yards heading into this game. So two-thirds came on that one run heading into it. But this is like a beat. Like Jason Kirk did a good thing on SB Nation there, kind of about the how dominant of a victory this was. Like FCS teams don't lose this bad. Partially about it, a little bit like kind of back and forth. If you put like Clemson or Florida State or Houston or a really good team up against the FCS team, they're not going to be as focused the whole time, partially because heck, you're up 35-0 in the first quarter. Unless you're BYU, Utah, there's a comeback, but to do how well they did and to just keep pounding them defensively, allowing nothing the entire game, this type of victory, this is like when Boise was in the WAC beating up on whoever they wanted to play. When San Jose State was terrible, when they were beating up on New Mexico State, or this is like beating Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I have not seen a beatdown this badly since Boise State left the WAC.
Yeah, I'd have to look deeper, but yeah, because the Mountain West, they brought over Nevada, Hawaii, Fresno, they've all gotten a little bit better. The very varying success depending on the team, but this, yeah, they haven't beaten teams like this since in a very long time. And looking forward, they lose Correa, announced he's going to the NFL, so they lose him. But this team, we're not going to go too much in the future because we got a couple more games to go and we don't need to make this extremely long. But this will probably be the best offense in the Mountain West next year. That's safe to say, correct?
Probably.
With Colorado State losing, I'd say Utah State has a potential, but I don't think they will. Or Tyler Irvin's leaving San Jose State. San Diego State, Pumphrey's going to be back, and Christian Chapman looks pretty good, reasonably good, I would say. But I'd have to look. New Mexico is always going to be solid, but this will probably be top three at worst going in next year. So they get 9 wins. Congratulations. Now go have a quarterback competition in the spring, coach.
Except they're not going to have – well, they might have much of one, but Alex Ogle, who played in this game, is actually transferring.
Correct. That news is coming out.
Earlier today. Transferring to Arizona Western, JUCO.
Oh, that's right, JUCO College. Okay. So he's gone. He – That's fine. You got Tommy Stewart. You still have Ryan Finley. We knew somebody was going to leave because of this, because we discussed kind of last week, I believe, or last show about they're all sophomores and juniors. You're going to get phased out or pushed out somewhere. Might as well go somewhere you can play, and you only get so many years to play college football, so go. And he's a good guy who probably could end up somewhere pretty good anyways, because what is he, a sophomore this year? Is that correct? Like everybody else?
Yeah, I think so. Redshirt sophomore.
So he's going to go play right away next year as a junior. That's
the only thing I really freshman.
That makes more sense. I'm like, junior college, junior. He's going to go 1 year, then go get tiers somewhere else, and he'll get picked up by a pretty good program, I'm thinking.
The only thing I didn't like about this is his kind of phrasing. They interviewed him. He says, Boise State has their guy, and I'm not looking to be a backup. Which is fine, but it's a little bitter.
Well, it's true. He wasn't good enough to beat the number one guy, and if your number one guy is the same class as you, and you're not even the number two, what chance do you have? Well, I guess technically he was, but still, it's what chance do you really have to start ever if you're, you know what I mean? If you're both freshmen, you're not going to beat him out. Odds are you're not going to. So it makes sense. It's like, I don't think that's better. I think that's like, well, odds of me playing are very slim. I might as well go somewhere to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, you know, going to JUCO gives him a year to refine the skills, and then JUCO transfer, which means, hey, UNLV can pick him up next year, right?
Very possible. Hey, why not?
They're JUCO quarterbacks.
Pipeline. That's a very good possibility, but good to see it happen for him, because he was, I believe he had the guy, like he was like the strongest arm out of the class. Like he was supposed to be the guy like last year or when he's coming in, but good luck for him, man. It's whatever. It's hard if you're not going to start to try to play and be a career backup for 4 years. So next game, another blowout. Whew. San Diego State 11-3 easily beat Cincinnati 42-7.
Can I say something about this game?
What do you got to say? Where's Robert Kekalula calling this one? Why is he not
outside
there?
Of the fact that Robert Kekalula should have been calling this game. You know, it's annoying that San Diego State had to play a 6-6 ACC team.
7-5.
7-5, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati wasn't that good. And there was a Twitter battle going on saying, oh, yeah, Cincinnati's so much better than Northern Illinois. No, they weren't. No.
I think I had the best answer to that. Not to say I did, but I would say Northern Illinois was a better team overall, but the offense for Cincinnati, light years ahead of potential of what they could be, and they didn't show up, though. That's the only issue. Their offense would have easily better, but overall, NIU is a better team because the Bearcats defense, as you can tell, not very good.
Yeah, and not only that, Cincinnati had their full offense on. You could say Gunnar Keel, but Hayden Moore has been taking the reins since mid-October. And
yeah, he's
done very well. That's the thing. It's just coming out in this game. Okay, 30 pass attempts, whatever. Those three picks, guess what? That's your Aztec defense showing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know.
We knew a week before Gunnar Keel was going to play. Hayden Moore, he moved the ball well. I remember watching that Memphis game. That hit was brutal when Keel got taken out.
Yeah.
He had, like, his numbers are not that he's a bad QB by any means. But I went back. I'm like, okay, how well did he do? Because I know he played. I think he started in 7 or 8 games and played in nearly every game. But so I have it here. I think his only touchdowns he had as the quarterback were in that Memphis game. Like he had like 500 total yards, and he played, maybe 3 quarters, something just over that. But I'm checking really quick. I think he had just 3 touchdowns in that game and maybe 4 overall. I want to see here. So, you know, well, maybe not. He had 9 touchdowns. Maybe I'm a little misleading there. But, yeah, he had 6 touchdowns, 4 Memphis, 2 Miami, and 2 the rest of the way. He had 1 in the opener, Alabama A&M. But he did well after that game. But, like, looking through him, like, the offense moved fine, but he wasn't putting up points. But he turned the ball over. He had, including the San Diego State game, he had 2 against South Florida. But he moved the ball fine, but his – yeah, interception, just defense is nothing they've seen. Because they played Temple. He did not play, though, so that's a little bit different story. Memphis defense, as you can tell, 53-46 is nothing. Miami, Florida, whatever. He did play BYU, but he didn't. He had yardage, but no touchdowns or picks. He basically had the same stat line, 30 attempts, 15. So they did well enough, but this wasn't like you said, it's not a huge downgrade by any means.
No, absolutely. So I think
Rashad Penny. There you go.
So here's the thing. Rashad Penny's one thing, a way to open up a game. And we've seen him. We saw him do that at the Mount West Championship. It wasn't a kickoff return. I think it was a punt return. But what about Christian Chapman? Once again, very, very limited, because that's what San Diego State does, is limit the quarterback play, but extremely effective. 8 for 11, 113 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 picks.
I like it. Also, pregame, we're like minutes away from kickoff. Maybe we'll see Maxwell Smith. I'm like, no, we're not going to see a Maxwell Smith. He tore his ACL, late November? I know what the coaches were telling you, Rocky Long, all those guys were telling you, but no, there was no zero chance he's going to play at all in this game. I don't know what they're trying to do by saying that, but they should just mention, said the wording differently. It was not going to play. But I am surprised the way Cincinnati's defense looked. I get you're out to a big lead. That's probably part of it, but I figured he would have more success throwing the ball, or at least give him let me rephrase that. Not more success, but more attempts to throw the ball, because Cincinnati's defense is not that great.
Yeah, but with Donnell Pumphrey, do you need to throw the ball more?
No, but I kind of figured, look what he did against Air Force, who has a better defense. He is allowed to throw a lot more.
Hold on, I'll be right back. Go ahead, continue.
Okay. I'll continue when Crisco takes a something, hangs out.
Here, blanket.
All right, so let's move on from here. Let's see, that game, there's don't mute myself. There's not much more going on with this game. 42-7, 11 victories for the Aztecs, which were, I think, the most. Is that their most ever victories?
What was that?
Is 11 wins the best ever for a San Diego State football team?
I think this is actually, I actually think this is San Diego State's best season since 1969. You know what? Don't quote. I'm going to check that stat right now.
Go check Sports Reference real quick. We'll kind of move on here with this game.
Think I'm right.
Okay. Unless it's a Marshall Faulk years, because they didn't have this good of wins under, Brady Hoke, 11 wins. Title game's a bit, adds an extra game on there, but still.
Yes. So 1969, they were in the PCAA under Don Corvell, 11-0.
Of course they were.
Yeah. So that's only time they've ever hit 11 wins.
Congrats. That's 11 wins. Do you think they'll be ranked at all? Do you think that's a possibility?
We'll have to see what happens at the end of the year.
So you don't want to say yes or no?
Don't want to say yes or no, because I have no clue what the final ranking is going to come. They should be ranked.
Should be. They've won, 10 in a row, something like that? 10 in a row, because they won 8 conference games. One beat Air Force and then won this game. 10 games. I believe it's in the game they mentioned it. I think they have the second longest winning streak in the country.
Yeah, they're
behind Clemson.
They should be ranked.
I think they should be. Beat good Air Force team. Beat Cincinnati. This is a team they've shown. Well, the West was down. I don't care what you say. It was down and not as good as the Mountain Division. They picked up after that Penn State loss. Even South Alabama after that 3-game losing streak, essentially to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And they did lose DeMonte Casey. He declared for the draft, which is not a shock. Player of the year in the Mountain West. Second team All-American from, I believe, USA Today, and probably a few others I didn't notice or look at. But he's going to be gone. But it's a 10-game winning streak. Is double-checking. So I think they might be ranked. I honestly don't think they will, which is dumb. But they should be ranked by having a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah,
because the most recent polls, I'm going to check. I don't think they're getting any points at all from anybody, which is it would have been. But the last poll would have been before the conference title games, correct?
Yes.
So let me take a quick look. I doubt they're
no. It would have been after conference style games.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, looking at the nope, they no, were they getting weren't. Votes in the AP poll. They are 1, 2, 3, 5 spots out of the AP poll, so they'll probably be ranked. I would say coaches poll, not so much. They did not like them at all. They got no votes in the coaches poll. Oh no, there they are. Sorry, they'll be ranked. Then the Western Kentucky will be ranked. So we'll have a ranked team. Hey, that's a positive note there. The ranked team.
Yeah, maybe that, two.
All right, you ready to preview some games?
Maybe two. People decide to overrank Boise State.
8-4, 9-4, 9-4 not going to happen. Sorry.
UCLA or USC is ranked. That's all I have to say.
You know who's not going to be ranked? Freaking UCLA. I don't think they were, but there's no chance losing to dang Nebraska. All right, let's preview a couple games here to wrap this thing up. Tuesday, December 29th, a pair of games. We got Cal hosting, or not hosting, taking on Air Force. Air Force is kind of hosting the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. 7-5 Cal, 8-5 Air Force. Do you know the line on this game that's being played in Fort Worth, Texas?
I believe it's Cal by 7.
And that's ridiculous.
No, it's not.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you think it's ridiculous. I think it's entirely reasonable.
Why do you say that?
Why? You're talking about the Bear Raid. And you're talking about an Air Force team that has had a very, very difficult time stopping the pass.
I guess so. I guess if San Diego State does what they did at the title game, I'd have to agree with you there.
At the same time,
Steel Hammer!
You're also talking about where I find it unreasonable is you're talking about Air Force's triple option versus a team that just has a problem with defense.
Let me back up on the pass defense there. Air Force only gives up 190 yards per game in the air. It's pretty good, right?
So then has that just last few weeks been bad?
Let me look and see here because I was double checking. They have 11 interceptions, which is about one a game. Let's look and see. Yeah, as for yards per game, what do we got here? I guess so. Yeah. I think the Utah State game, I think, is where we're really concerned because the last couple weeks it has been worse. So 364 Utah State, 237 Boise State. New Mexico threw for 135, but that's whatever. New Mexico. And then Aztecs 203. They've had games of 45 yards, but then again, it's both things. They're playing Army and Navy, and they which was 117 for Navy, 45 for Army. Hawaii 180, a lot of bad passing teams. So I'm going to lean more towards you saying it's not as good because when they started playing teams that can pass, they didn't play all that well. However, their passing percentage is still at 51% overall. And so that's still – Aztecs was an anomaly at 64%. That was their second highest outside of CSU. So I would say they'll give up yardage, but it's going to take probably Jared Goff a lot of passes – to get to the yards they're comfortable at with that Bear Raid offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't forget about Sonny Dykes' offense, period. I mean, this is not just a Cal Bear Raid offense, but we also have to talk about Cal's very, very quiet run game.
Javon Best coming back or something?
No.
Marshawn Lynch?
You're talking about the shares between three Golden Bears, right? The main rusher is Kalfani Muhammad. 78 carries, 538.9 yards. That's an average of 7. He only has one touchdown. I think he is limited due to injuries. And then you also have Vic Enware, who has 98 carries for 486 yards. That's 5 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns. So he's your big guy kind of bumbling in. And then you have Trey Watson right behind him, averaging 5.7 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns. Those guys have accumulated somewhere about 1,400 yards between the three of them, which isn't that much. But remember, you're splitting it between three different backs. this is, once again, a pass-heavy offense that has up to 4,400 yards of passing all year.
Yeah, this is going to be – the Air Force's defense is going to have to – they're going to have to play keep away, essentially. Offense, run the ball. Don't – the Jacoby Owens, don't let Air Force – or they'll let them – Jared Goff and Cal and Sonny Dykes have the ball too often. Not that they'll need it to score, but I think time of possession is going to be a big deal in this game. More Air Force can keep the ball and score points, more importantly, touchdowns. Because if they get behind early, this offense isn't built to come back.
You're also talking about there is also one common factor between these two teams, and even though they played them at the beginning and at the end of the season.
True. There's that too.
Remember, Cal played San Diego State at the beginning of the season. Everybody thought that San Diego State had a chance to upset Cal, and Cal just comes out and just dominates them 35-7. Air Force plays a very, very strong San Diego State at the end of the season, loses, what was it, 28-23?
I think so. Which one? The
championship game?
Oh,
so there is a common factor between these two teams, although that common factor is very, very different from the beginning of the season to the end of the season.
Yeah, and then also there's that too, because Aztecs ripped off the, like I said, 10-game winning streak.
But you just have to think that was an extremely dominating win.
It was. Aztecs couldn't do anything in that game. For defense was shredded to pieces, and they couldn't do much of anything. One interesting note here, two things here. Cal gets some extra time to prepare for this offense, but there's nobody they've played all year that comes close to this offense. They Pac-12, nobody runs this offense, nobody close to it. San Diego State doesn't. There's nobody that plays anything like this. So that'll be even getting however many weeks to prepare once they've known since that first week of December, it's going to be quite difficult to come in and just stop. So I expect the Air Force to run the ball well, like they always do. There's some better athletes on Cal, defense somewhat. But I'm looking back at games I've seen them play. Like when they played Utah, they couldn't stop the running game. Certain teams, their rush defense is a questionable factor. And if Cal's going to beat Air Force, they're going to need to stop. They'll give up the yards. The yards are going to happen regardless. It's just those big-time running plays they want to go for and not have. Cal is 11th in the Pac-12, giving up 203 yards per game and also 21 touchdowns on the ground. Does that change your mind a little bit about this game?
Yeah, not really.
Not really?
No, I fully expect it to be a high-powered offensive game.
Okay, one other note as well. So Air Force, I was looking at a few notes here from Air Force. Their quarterback or the defensive coordinator is – I wish I knew his name. That would be ridiculous if I didn't, but sorry, Steve Russ.
Starts with an S.
It's Steve Russ. I got it right here. I'm sorry. I don't know all the coordinator's name. Jeez, give me a break. He's coached a lot of different places. This is his best quarterback he's faced since he went up against, as a coach, Ben Roethlisberger, which is saying something. And at the college level, I should say, as well. And I would – so who do you think is a better college? Could be Roethlisberger or Jared Goff?
Goff.
Okay, because he obviously throwing more. Roethlisberger can move a little bit, but so what do you think? I'm gonna go. This is the second time they've met. They last played in the same bowl game back in what 08 or 09, I believe it was,
something of that sort.
This is their ninth time they played. 2007, excuse me. They've met 9 times overall. Second time in a bowl game. I'm going Air Force to win outright. They're going to run the ball and Jared Goff says, I'm going to the NFL. I don't need to play against this team. I'm going to cash my check with my agent as soon as that clock hits triple zeros on Tuesday afternoon. I'm going Air Force to win by a touchdown.
The problem is you have to have a good performance in order to raise your stock in the NFL draft.
Hey, there's that UCLA guy who quit the bowl game to sign with an agent before.
This is true. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say that Air Force covers the spread.
Boo.
But they lose by a field goal.
Okay, close.
Something in the range of like, oh, let's say, make it crazy. Let's say 50-47.
You think Air Force could score 47 points?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Remember that Cal, you said it yourself, Cal gives up 203 yards rushing and 21 touchdowns were on the ground.
Well, you're not wrong. The over-under is 67.5. Jeez. So even with just a touchdown favorite, that's what, 37-30?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they're onto something. And Air Force could throw their own a little bit. They got Robinette there. They got a couple of guys who can catch the ball and go deep. Also, one other thing about this game, looking at because Air or is it Cal gives up what 14 interceptions, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh crap! I had something I was gonna say and just slipped my mind. That's the worst. I don't know what I was gonna say. Never mind. I apologize.
I'm getting all the Air Force fans mad at me for what I just said. So you know,
sorry.
They'll take some of the heat off of you.
Okay. I am. What other? Okay, here's what I was going to say. They've given up 14 interceptions, just as Goff himself. However, five of those came against Utah. Ever since their schedule, since that time, he's only given up four interceptions in his last five games and zero in his last two. And that includes playing Arizona State and Stanford. So, and he's had 15 touchdowns in his past three games. Or excuse me, 13 touchdowns, last three, 15, last four. So still Hammer can't play every position, but he'll play a lot.
Nope. Yep.
I this is also, I don't think you mentioned, noon, lovely kickoff time on ESPN Tuesday afternoon.
Excellent.
Next game. We're back in the conference play, folks. The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl Nevada against Colorado State in Tucson, 5:30 kickoff. Check your local listings.
I actually know somebody who's going to this game who isn't one of our writers.
Are they a fan of either team?
Yes.
Which team?
Colorado State.
Okay. That's good. There'll be one person there. one thing I do like about this game.
Why?
Yeah, what was the reason? Why? Because it's warm.
They said, oh, because it was something to do during the school break.
Well, he said they're a Colorado State fan, correct?
Yeah,
they're lucky to go because we got about a foot of snow on Christmas Day, so they probably got as much as
they're
we
a Colorado
did.
State fan who lives in San Diego.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how that happened. one interesting note about this game, it's on Campus Insider streaming, but you know we always complained about Campus Insiders and everything.
Yeah,
about how their stream was glitchy at times.
Yeah.
So here is the best news anybody could ask for. The Major League Baseball, their digital wing is they don't like it when you share vines or gifts that aren't their own. However, they are very good at their MLB.TV or MLB League Pass, whatever it's called. NHL uses it. HBO uses it. A lot of companies use it. They've now partnered with Campus Insiders to basically run the bowl game as for the digital production side, which means, crossing fingers, this, if you're going to stream this game, you should have zero issues and it should work extremely well.
Yeah,
so that's a positive.
Finally.
Well, it is. Yes, it's also stuff with 120 Sports, which is, I think, part of SI. Excuse me. There's going to be I'm giving more info because I'm reading the press release. Campus Insiders will have live coverage at 7 Eastern with the pregame show and then interview, halftime, highlights, postgame, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. So MLB AM, it's a big deal. So people who don't watch MLB TV, or not MLB TV, the streaming form of the MLB.TV. But if you have HBO Now, HBO Go, NHL Center Ice, it's the same. There's a reason those work so well. It's because MLB Advanced Media is doing that, which is great. So that's a positive on this bowl game. As for TV channels, it's going to be over the air somewhere. It's in 80. They sent me all this stuff. I'm going to have a post ready to go for this. The reason we're giving this info is just because of people want to find the game. I think do people want to find this game? Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
It's on the American Sports Network. So if you watch a lot of Conference USA, Sun Belt, or ACC a little bit, ACC basketball, it's on that channel. It's likely a local over-the-air channel for the most part. However, there are – it says it can reach a potential of 85 million homes. Am I correct on that? 88 million households. I'm going to write a little article on this. But basically, it's going to be one of your – if you know what the MyTV channel is in your area, you can find it. And so that's – or it's going to be on maybe your CW. So like I said, check your local listings for the game. But that's kind of what channels will be on. It's on a couple regional sports network. Like if you're in Denver
– are we broadcasting this game?
Are we? You and I?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm working during that time, so I can't do that. I'll be watching, but I'm working. Can we? I think we found out that was not going to happen.
Rabble TV?
Sure. You can do it if you want to do it with Matt or something.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Chat with him and see. But here's the pertinent markers. If you're in Colorado, markets, I should say. It's on CW if you're in Colorado Springs. Fox in Denver. No mention of Colorado Springs, so I don't know if there any bleeds over for. Oh, I'm an idiot. I read it right there.
You want to try that again?
Yeah, Colorado Springs on CW. That's where Colorado State plays their football games. No, it doesn't. They're in Fort Collins. Oh my gosh, I am Fort Collins, I should say, doesn't mention, but that might fall into Denver or Colorado Springs market. So CW or Fox, I appreciate that groan because it's much appreciated for how terrible I was there that moment. And as for people in Nevada, you got a couple. Reno, it's on KAME, my TV. There you go. Chris, do I need to tell you what channel it's on there in San Diego for you?
No, I could probably find it. Or I could just use Campus Insiders.
Yeah, or what is – it's on – what is something called This TV?
I've never heard of that channel.
KSWB3?
I've never heard of that channel.
That's where it's at in San Diego. So, all right, enough making fun of how to watch the game. It sounds like – but honestly, it looks like if you could stream versus Campus Insiders, it should be better than it has been all year with MLB Advanced Media behind it. But
they're literally expecting slews of people to watch this game, and it's probably not going to happen.
We'll see. It's supposed to rain, possibly, in Arizona. Oh, my gosh. That would make this game even better. And the weather is supposed
to be... It snowed in El Paso.
Oh, I saw that snowstorm in the Sun Bowl.
So
that was amazing.
Snow in Tucson?
Not going to happen.
Couldn't happen in a nicer place.
Really?
Sorry. I don't like Tucson.
Oh, it's... Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. It's whatever. It's like Mexico.
It's like... Mexico.
I don't know. Never been to Mexico, so I don't know. All right, let's get back to the game. Nevada CSU. We're going way off topic for some random reason.
We're not going off topic, but yeah. Go ahead.
Game relevant. Let's go to game relevant. Nevada is a 3-point underdog. Nevada has already said fans or players and coaches say they don't want to beat this game because it's a stupid conference game, which
I'd be ticked off as well. Momentum.
For what, next year?
Oh, yeah. We already know it's a stupid conference game. We already knew that. But at least get act like you're going to get up to play.
I should look, but do these two teams play next year?
Oh, I should check that schedule.
Because I know they set the schedule out for like 2018. We don't know the dates, but they kind of rotate. They didn't play this year. I don't think they played last year. So there's a decent chance they play next year. Not that it matters too much, but in this game, we've seen Nevada. They've been up and down. Like, they're a Jekyll and Hyde type of team with Don Jackson, with him running the ball, assuming he's going to be the guy that will run the ball or actually run the ball well. Got Tyler Stewart, who, again, like I said, up and down a little bit. He's been okay. They got Sean Henderson, who had his birthday, apparently, looks like, on Twitter. And they got a steak dinner at the Arizona Bowl. That's nice, at their party. I'm going through the tweets on ESPN now. Nevada is a team that they have potential to. This game, honestly, not just to be a homer, could be a game that sees like 60 to 70 points.
Honestly, not to be. Who are you a homer for in this game?
I mean, the conference as a sell. I'm not saying just because it's a conference game. I'm just saying the way these two teams have the potential to play, there could be a lot of points in this game and be an overlooked matchup.
Yeah, playing teams with no defense? Absolutely.
So you don't like Ian Sale to sack Nick Stevens a couple times?
Oh, I didn't say that wasn't going to happen. That probably will happen. But, you know, I'd say that it's more likely to happen that, you know, while there's going to be a sack or two, there's also going to be a big play or two, something like a 60 or 70 yard toss.
Here's the thing. Rams have won four in a row.
By the way, by the way, no, they miss each other next year.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
So they're not actually playing. They haven't played for they played last year, but they haven't played for 2 years. So go figure.
Really won't. That's interesting. I guess that's it makes it a hair better. But Rams are off finishing stronger. They won 5 of 6, including a win at versus Air Force. Yet they finished Wyoming, UNLV, New Mexico, Fresno. So not the toughest of competition. Lost to San Diego State. And they're a bit stronger. Nevada lost their last two games, 3-2 over that stretch of five final games. The thing is, like I said, what do you expect from either team? Both teams have been either pretty good or not good at all.
I expect there to be, well, honestly, the way Colorado State's been a little bit more hush-hush about it than Nevada has. The way Nevada has kind of just cast off this game as just, it's stupid, whatever, we got screwed, and everything like that. I fully expect Colorado State to take this to I'm expecting a blowout here.
I know you don't like Nevada.
It's not just an I don't like Nevada thing. I mean, it's partially that, but it's actually more of, look, you have to come into this game focused, right? We've seen this in the past where, like, Boise State, whenever they went to the Hawaii Bowl against Oregon State or ECU, disappointing season, let down, didn't really get up to play, and they just got completely crushed, right? This is the same exact thing. Nevada's like, well, you know, we have to play a conference team, blah, blah, blah. Not too happy about it. And when the fact that you're having players say this, not just fans, I can't say that Colorado State's going to be like, okay, well, yeah, you know, stupid conference game, bowl game or what. Nick Stevens is just going to – he might get sacked a couple times, but he's just going to pop out 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Toss it down to Rashard Hollywood Higgins?
Absolutely. I fully expect Colorado State to possibly win this game by 17.
I'm kind of leaning towards you because I know not many – at least fans, like we've heard players from Nevada say they don't like it. On the Rams side, it's probably not popular. But they're not saying publicly when they're asked about it after practice or their press conference or media availability about how they don't want to be there, how they don't want to play in this game, whereas Nevada is. And that is – it's kind of interesting because neither coach – you'd think the coaches would say, hey, shut up. Quit talking like that. But you have two inexperienced coaches more so – I guess
more Mike Bobo. More and more than Mike Bobo.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say because Bobo has been in the SEC for a long time. He's at Georgia where there's more people at your practice, more people covering you throughout the year. Whereas Polian, yes, he's been at Texas A&M, but that's about it. And he was what their special teams coach there before coming to Nevada. And there's probably 5 people max at Nevada practice every day. I'm assuming maybe 8. I don't know, not very many. But I'm kind of coming around to your side. I was thinking this could be a back and forth game. Probably still see a bunch of points, but I think the Rams won big because they haven't been complaining about this bowl game. And
I mean, it's funny because the CSU blog or the CSU official Colorado State Rams site, they have an Arizona Bowl blog. And it's like, oh, yeah, Rams practice. And then they enjoy the players' lounge, which is like they're just taking pictures of like them playing like ping pong. And like,
there you go.
Yeah, it seems like they're legitimately enjoying themselves.
Nevada might be, but they're still – they've already said so much that they don't want to be there or they don't want to play this team. They're saying, well, why should we be in this game when 5-7 San Jose State goes off and plays somebody not in the conference. Like, well, this really shouldn't have happened, but this is the game. It's like, get over it. Just play a game. It's a team that you yes, you played last year. You don't play the next 2 years, but.
And once again, they got cowboy boots. I mean, can't.
I'd like to see Hashawn. I want to say Hashawn Henderson, but he showed up one time this year.
Yep.
And the Nevada rushing attack, like I said, they've been inconsistent all year. Don Jackson can have a big game. Tyler Stewart has nothing. And then I'm going Rams to win by about 10 or so points because they beat Buffalo, they lose to UNLV. They beat New Mexico. They lose to stupid Wyoming somehow on the road. So, yeah, Rams win. I don't think it'll be as big as you're saying, but they'll win probably maybe double digits.
Yeah, like I said, I just went to the CSU Rams site, and they're just having like a blog day by day.
What, the Coloradoan? You mean?
Yeah,
over there.
No, not the Coloradoan. The actual athletics website.
Oh, the website. Okay, CSURams.com.
And they have this whole blog about what's going on in the Arizona Bowl, kind of like a report. And it's just they're snapping pictures, and obviously this is media stuff, but it shows that they're like enjoying themselves. You go to the Nevada website.
Let's see.
And there is nothing about the bowl game.
Nothing. Let's take a look and see, because I know CSU. They do a good job, like on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. They do. They are one of the better teams in the conference that does stuff like that, where they just whatever sport it may be. Yeah, right here you got the Rams practice, players' lines. Like you said, they have all sorts of Arizona Bowl arrived to Tucson. That's what you should be doing. And so you said Nevada has nothing.
Now look, go to their website, and it's on the front page. And then finally, when you click on football. It takes you to the Bowl Central, but all it takes you is the matchup. It takes you to the Bowl Guide, which is through like the kind of the press release stuff.
Yeah, Twitter and stuff.
It doesn't tell you anything about like the events that is going on.
Outside of Twitter, their Twitter scroll down is not even good. You can't even view the images they put on there. There's a few things on there, but
no, there's nothing about, there's nothing. I mean, it's on the Twitter page, but there's nothing like, I mean, CSU, like I said, has a full blog dedicated to it. Like, you know, just, this is like, oh, some tweets are out. And
as you should for a bowl game, as you should. Nevada's going to lose by, going off of website prowess here.
prowess.
My website ranking for the bowl game. Colorado State 35, Nevada 10.
it might as well be that. I said 17, right?
Yeah. Here's what they did wrong on Nevada site. They have a couple more. Well, no, I'm incorrect. They have one or two more things added to their football website. Because it does take you to Bowl Central, but if you finally go back way or to their actual football page, there's at least two other items mentioned about the bowl game.
Where's their football page? I don't even know where you have to go.
Clicked
on that.
Because their football page goes to the Bowl Central, but then if you back way around, it mentions the – and it's probably – I know this is so exciting for everybody to hear, but I guarantee I'm going to click on this link here, and it's probably the press release I read to you guys earlier partially, where it has how you can watch the game, but it'll probably be truncated to just the Nevada area.
Can we start talking about him?
Step up your game. Or do we want to do that now? Because we're at 1 hour mark. Should we save that for next show?
Yeah, let's finish up on a positive note.
Wait, for who?
For Nevada.
Wait, so you're still going by Colorado State by 10?
I said more than 10. I said 17.
Oh, 17. Oh, I went 35-10.
Yeah, you went 35-10. That number may increase. I'll be honest. You know, so. So,
all right, Cam. Nonsense.
Are we going to introduce this?
You go. Should I do how it started?
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah. Let's go ahead. So, because you're the one who's wrong, so might as well.
I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'm incorrect.
Go ahead.
Well, start. Here, if I recall how it started. Here's how it started. It was me. I was just scrolling through Twitter. Was it Christmas Eve? Yeah, before the bowl game. I see the guys from Red Cup Rebellion for Twitter saying something along the lines of, "Hey, what should I cook for Christmas?" And I put a retweet. Well, definitely not ham, because ham's terrible. And it spawned everything after that. I didn't know there's so much love for ham. There's a few haters like myself, but...
Because you're wrong. Ham is delicious. Look, you're talking about something that is both sweet and savory. Okay, you can have a blah, especially when you cook it properly.
Maybe that's the issue I'm having.
What? You don't like it? I mean, what kind of ham have you eaten in the past that you just have a complete and utter hatred for it?
Well, here's – I let me rephrase this. I will eat ham. I just don't enjoy it that much.
You will eat ham, but you don't enjoy it? Then what's
– Here's the thing. Okay, when you go to so many dang family functions and crap, they have ham. I'm like, ham again. And that's all there is for the main – you got sides and stuff, salad, rolls, potatoes, vegetables. But when ham's your thing, I've had ham maybe one time where I really enjoyed it. And I think it was some sort of pineapple glazed ham, I think. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, and it should be.
Besides that, it's either dry, it's never cooked right. It's just, there's not much, I don't think there's much flavor to it. I'll eat ham like... Sometimes there's ham in my house. I'll maybe make like a burrito with eggs and ham and stuff. That's good. But ham by itself, I just don't. Maybe I haven't had it properly made too many times or any times, but I just don't care for it. Also, if you go to a restaurant, who orders freaking ham? If you go to any nice restaurant, you're getting like steak or something. Who's going for ham?
If I know that that ham is going to be honey baked, or if anything that's going to have that sweet and salty flavor, I will do ham over anything else, especially
– What?
Yes. Yes. Good ham is much better than a lot of
– Rubber shoe?
What?
A rubber shoe?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, you're also talking to somebody who doesn't eat a lot of steak.
Neither do I. I don't either. So.
Because a lot of times it's just not prepared. It's hard to mess up ham.
I disagree with that 100%. I don't cook ham myself because I just don't care for it. That's all there is. I've eaten it. I've had it. I've only had it like once ever. I've liked it, but people, here's the thing. Turkeys, even turkey, I'm like, whatever, turkey's okay. Thanksgiving, but I'm like Christmas Eve, like we're having ham and tradition. I'm like, why? Have like ribs or something. Have something great. Ham is not a great food to have. Who's ever excited really to have ham?
I am. Seriously, a good ham, even a bad ham. What are you going to eat? What are you going to eat, right? Are you going to eat bad ham or are you going to eat bad chicken?
Well, how would you, what do you mean bad chicken?
I'm talking overcooked dry chicken. Have you ever had overcooked dry ham?
Yeah.
Really?
Terrible. Not good. It's probably the people I'm surrounding myself with. That could be it too.
Yeah, I have to say so, because it's damn near pretty darn close to impossible to overcook ham to the point where it's just as dry as dry chicken or turkey for that matter.
Oh, I've had that before. I'm like, really, people? You're giving this to eat to humans?
Oh my goodness.
People, let us know. Yeah, I've already been tweeting it out. I do have a few people that agreed with me.
Yeah, well, you know.
But I'm just saying, like, if you have a choice. I also noted I eat burritos whenever, so I'm a burrito guy.
Tacos, no. We agree on the burritos.
I did go to that place by Disneyland that you recommended.
Was it as good as I said?
Oh, excellent.
I told you.
Excellent. It was probably top two or three burritos ever.
Yeah. And probably I found even two. Better burrito places than that.
Oh, man. Interesting. I like that. I still say my number one burrito is going to Freebirds World Burrito. So good. So good. But I'm not a ham guy. That's all I got to say. I'm not.
Look, that argument is just about as.
What should I? Okay. What should I do then? Because I'm not going to not try it. If you're this passionate about it, I'm not going to give up or whatever. What should I do? Where should I get a good ham? Should I go to the Honey Baked Ham store and pick up a ham there and cook it?
Absolutely.
Can you send me a great recipe? Can you give me a recipe of some sort?
I can find some recipes.
Because I know I can cook. I say I can cook pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just this argument that we're having is just about as important as Berkeley Breath's argument on team one space or team two spaces between a sentence.
That's always one space.
No, it's two it's two spaces. Oh my goodness, we're going to have this argument now. That's an argument for another podcast.
What about the comma before and?
It can go either way, depending on what you're talking about. Are you talking about the Oxford comma?
Yeah, where you, in a list, you don't need a comma before and unless you continue with another phrase, another list of some sort.
I think
that one's more
deep. That one's less black and white.
Very true, but it's. You know the two space has gone away with the typewriter, right?
Excuse me. I still use two spaces.
Not when I edit your stuff sometimes.
Well, I mean, that's also different media, too.
It's whatever. That I just don't like it when people do it. Then you see the stupid indention on the other paragraph.
Oh, no. Yeah.
When people don't use that, I'm like, stop! Go back.
It's hard to use. It's hard to use indentation on our course editor.
Well, people hit the spacebar twice, and you make a new paragraph, but whatever. Ham, people, send me a recipe. Give me your best ham recipe. I want to know.
This is what we're pushing on, people. Send him some good ham recipes.
I will try. I will buy a ham. If there's a restaurant you know that serves good ham, I will try it. I like bacon. That's great. That's part of ham, right?
That is part
of ham. I will...
Do you like pork?
Kinda. Pork chops are okay.
I mean, that's a different cut of the pig that you eat.
Not a huge fan of it, but it's okay. I actually bought some from Walmart a couple weeks ago.
Pork chops are delicious.
Made some.
Pork is delicious.
Yeah, we are ending the show on this, folks. But yeah, send me a ham recipe. If you're team ham, let me know. Because I would like to try. Maybe you can sway me to... Give ham a fair chance.
And if you're team no ham, give us a story as to why you are team no ham.
My story is I've had crappy ham and dry ham. It tastes terrible.
I still don't understand how you've ever had dry ham before.
You overcook it. How else do you do it?
It's really hard to overcook ham.
I don't know. That's all I got. Done. That's all we're I'm done. Saying. It's just not a fan yet. So let's wrap it up. That's our show. If you made it this far... just write ham in the comments. That's all I gotta say. This is the ham episode here as we talk bowl games and nonsense.
In the podcast title today is the ham episode.
Yeah, I'll put it in Twitter, the ham episode. Is that good? The ham episode. All right, but we got a couple of games this week. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. If you found us without going to the website, I guess congratulations are in order, but thank you. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, give us a review that helps people spread the word of the hamisode we have going on right now. just check us out, mwcconnection.com. We got Football Tuesday, Open Threads. If you have work off, let us know and comment because that's been difficult this bowl season. But that's our show for tonight. Check us out on Twitter. We'll be tweeting during the show, MWC Connection. And we got a couple games left, so savor the last couple football games we have before the playoffs. So everybody have a good night, afternoon, good day, and we'll see you next time.